Thanks for standing. If you have your Bible, we'd ask you to open to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We've been so blessed since we started our study in Revelation in January. Been going through it, and we're in chapter 20 this morning. And really being able to look at the fact that we're going to reign with Jesus Christ. And we need to, in the Northwest, let you know it's R-E-I-G-N, reign with Him. So this morning, if you have your Bible open to Revelation 20, and in verse 1 it said, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up, and set a seal on him that no one should deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Let's pray. Father, I know this morning we've already been encouraged, as was stated in the worship songs and in the testimony and the just all that you're doing in our lives. But yet right now, there is something for all of us this morning from your word. There's something about you that we don't know that you will reveal to us today, no matter how familiar we may or may not be with these scriptures. You're going to reveal yourself to me, to us. And there is a blessing for those who read this word, hear this word, and obey this word. You will help us in our life. You will give us clarity. You will work right now in our midst, because you're God and worthy to be trusted. And we trust you because we trust your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we're looking at chapter 20, and we see something rather significant happening, we see that there's this angel in chapter 20, verse 1, coming down from heaven. Now, this angel isn't given a name, and many times we have seen, for example, the name of Michael or perhaps Gabriel, but this is an angel of God that comes down. And there's something that he is going to do. You saw in verse 2 that we're speaking about the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, and Satan. Now, last week we saw in chapter 19 what is going to happen. Let's just bring us all up to speed really quickly. Revelation is the last book of the New Testament revealing to us Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus. He reveals himself to us in ways that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not. And the results of this revelation are for us to love him and worship him as the Lamb of God. That's the purpose. Now, he also wants us to be able to understand that he's in control. God's in control in these days in which we live. So we saw in Revelation, here's a picture of Jesus in chapter 1. And then you say, well, great, but what about the churches? He goes, here's 7 churches. Here's how I'm ministering in 7 different churches. Here's the things that I encourage these churches with. And here's the things that need to be corrected. And that encouragement is for every church. And that correction is for every church and every individual. And then you say, okay, but what about the future? And he says the future is in chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 4, he speaks about us going to heaven, being taken to heaven, John being taken to heaven. And he sees the things that are going on in heaven. And he sees the worship in chapter 5. And then he says, now, these details to follow in chapters 6 through 19 are really speaking about a 7-year period of time called the Great Tribulation. And so chapter 6 through 19 is a 7-year period of time, literal time on earth, called the Great Tribulation. Jesus talked about it often. And you say, as a Christian, I I don't want to go through that. I mean, is there a way to avoid that? And the answer is yes. And you say, well, how? And the answer is Jesus is going to move you off the scene. He's going to take you to be with him in heaven before this tribulation begins. Wow. Because I'm special? No. Because he shed his blood for our sins. He's forgiven us. And he endured the wrath that we deserved. And therefore he says, you're no longer subjected to the wrath of God against all ungodliness. You've accepted me as your Lamb of God. Therefore, when that tribulation period comes, you're going to be removed. You're going to be in heaven with me. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you also believe in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not tell you, but it is. And then Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you will be always. Amen? Amen. And so that's what's going to happen. He has it all taken care of. Well, what if I die today? Then that scripture applies to you. You go right there to be with him. Well, isn't there a place like called purgatory? No, not at all. There's no resting place. There's no halfway place. It's directly to heaven. Amen. So when you look at this and you see this tribulation period coming and we discussed it all, how close are we to that? I believe that the Lord would want us to live with a sense of urgency every day. I believe that the Lord would want us to look at the day, what a beautiful day this is, and we would just say, Lord, thank you. Your mercies are new every day. I believe the Lord would want us to praise him in the morning. I believe the Lord would want us to say, thank you for this day. I believe the Lord would say to us that there's a sense of urgency in our hearts, that this could be my last day. Therefore, it brings value to every day. Every day it brings value that this is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I believe for every believer, there should be that sense of urgency and expectation. But in terms of the prophetic calendar, again, just logically speaking here, we are closer than we've ever been. Obviously, closer than we've ever been. But the things that are going on in this world right now, as we've gone through, we're like really close. Really close. So, pastors, you went through last week, and in chapter 19, you said that in this seven-year period of time, that we're in heaven with Jesus. I did, but it's what the scripture said. Your pastor was repeating the scriptures again in chapter 19. It says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The fine linen is the righteousness, the acts of the saints. He said to me in verse 9 of chapter 19, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So we're in heaven. We're in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're with the Lord Jesus Christ during that seven-year period of time. Question comes up. What happens after the seven-year period of time? How does it end? Great question. The armies of the world gather together in Israel, the Valley of Megiddo. If you went back to chapter 16 as a reference, and you saw in verse 16 of chapter 16, it tells you that they gathered to this place called Armageddon. So there's a world battle taking place in the Valley of Megiddo. And in chapter 19, verse 11, heaven opens and the Lord exits heaven with all of us. Verse 14, the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords in verse 16. And he, at this point, judges all the ungodliness on earth. So every, right here, every, at the end of the tribulation, every unbelieving person dies at this point. They're judged by God. They die at this point. Now, when he's coming out of heaven on this horse, the question is there just ungodly people that are on the earth? Or are there any believing people living amongst the ungodly people at the end of the tribulation period? And the answer is this. Anybody that has taken the mark of the beast on the hand or the forehead, they've already determined their destination. That's it. There's no future. You have aligned yourself with Satan and with darkness. However, during the tribulation period, there are believers. There are many that come to the Lord. There are many that die a martyr's death, the tribulation saints. But there's others, believers, that have not died. So at the end of the seven-year period of time, when the Lord comes back comes from heaven to earth, he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. Now, you have prayed a prayer. People have prayed this prayer since Jesus was here on earth. Jesus, with his disciples, and the disciples asked Jesus, they never said to Jesus, "Teach me how to preach." You won't find it. They never said to Jesus, "Teach me how to evangelize." You'll never find it. What they did say is, "Teach me how to pray." And Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what we see today in Revelation 20 is this prayer that has been prayed for over 2,000 years is being answered on earth. He's coming back to earth. Now, there is, I believe, a lot of misunderstanding in this area. Jesus Christ comes for his church in the rapture. He's coming for his church in the rapture. At the end of the tribulation period, in Revelation 19, he's coming with his church to earth. If you can understand that difference, it'll help out a lot. So he's going to set up a kingdom on earth for how many years? 1,000 years. And so the word millennium is used for that 1,000-word expression. People will say, "I don't believe in that," because the word millennium isn't written right there. That's what the word 1,000 means. Now, as we've gone through Revelation, I have said, as a teacher, I am not teaching speculation in the book of Revelation, because there's a lot of, as you go through commentaries, there's a lot of speculation that good-minded people put out there. I've avoided that. So, for example, when it says his voice was like the sound of thunder, when it says was like, it means it wasn't thunder. John is looking to use some vocabulary to help us understand what that was like, or like a waterfall, or as something. So when he used like or as, we've always pulled back and says, it wasn't thunder, it sounded like what thunder would. So being honest as we're going through the scriptures, as we see 1,000 years expressed in chapter 20, it does not say as or like. Some people want to say that millennium is just a symbolic period of time. There are believers that do not believe that there's a literal 1,000-year period of time. Some would think that we are in that period of time right now. And I'm wondering where Satan is because he seems to have a long leash if he's chained up. Also, there are other believers, just to be honest as we're going through this, just so you know that there's different points of views, but I want you to know as a pastor where we're coming from, where I'm coming from, where this ministry's coming from. There's others that believe that the work of the church is to really clean and purge the earth up of all of its ungodliness. It's called dominion theology. And make it really ready for Christ to come back. And therefore, putting born-again believers in all kinds of political leadership offices and making the world ready for the Messiah to come back. And they hold to that position. I don't. I believe that things are getting worse, not better. Well, you say, well, I don't know if I want to attend here anymore because that seems rather pessimistic. Well, to me, it's optimistic because Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And it doesn't change my love for him. It makes me more determined to be the servant he wants me to be. It's for real. He's coming. So as we look here and he comes back to earth, all those living ungodly, unbelieving, they die at the end of the tribulation period. Christ sets up his kingdom here on earth, and we as believers, as born-again believers, are going to be a part of reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ during that thousand-year period of time. It's amazing. Are you kidding? No. I mean, what do you want to do? Again, people have a lot of different perception of what's going on. So let's just be biblically accurate. I die tonight. I am in the presence of Jesus Christ, and there's worship that's going on in the presence of Jesus Christ. How do you get that? Go back to John 4 and 5 and see what he saw, and that's what's happening. They're worshiping the Lord in heaven. What if the rapture happens and God takes the church to heaven? He will do that, so it's not what if. He will do that. So then what? Then, you know, there's 7 years period of time up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, at the end of that 7 year period of time, giddy up, because we're following him out of heaven. So you say, I thought we're always going to be in heaven. Wherever Jesus is, it's heaven. Wherever he's at, that's where we want to be. He's going to leave heaven and come to earth. Okay, Pastor, do you think that the rapture could happen this year? It could. Of course it could. To say it couldn't would be a huge mistake. It's the next thing. It could. You're not going to get any false motivation or persuasion from here because of something like that to move or direct it. The Spirit has to lead your heart. But could it happen anytime? Yes. So again, if you just think with me for a moment, if it happened this year, the rapture, so we're going to be in heaven for 7 years, right? I mean, you could be riding out in the millennium in 8 years from now. I'm just saying, if you start to think about the reality of all of this, this is not make-believe, this is real, this is the future, this is what we have. He's going to come back. You say, well, you know, when Gracie and Walt were here sharing, and man, they've been strong in the Lord, and I noticed that they have canes and you help them down. Yeah, so? New bodies. New bodies. New bodies. And those are eternal bodies. So when God made this body, this suit for earth, the day I'm born, it has an expiration date on it. It's not made to go the long haul. But inside, the Spirit of God that lives within you, who you are, your person, your personality, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he then clothes us with a new body, what he has for us. And that new outfit we have, that new body, is designed for all eternity. And mobility is not a problem. That's good, but what about memory? Not a problem. Remember, we're going to be a lot smarter in heaven than we are on earth, okay? But just everything, there's not a problem. When Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he presented himself alive many times, correct? He had a resurrected body. So he could show up and then be gone, and show up and then be gone. He also knew the conversations that people were having when he wasn't there. In that millennium kingdom, those who are a part of it, those believers who are a part of it, they may live for 1,000 years. You can go over to Isaiah, and they even say in Isaiah, a child at 100 years old, a person at 100 years old is looked at as a child. So the longevity is going to be like when we originally were created. So the earth is going to be populated during that time, hugely, over that 1,000-year period of time. And we are going to be serving our King Jesus. And he literally is going to reign and rule out of Jerusalem on that throne of David. Remember, that was prophesied. It has to be fulfilled on that throne. So just like there's an angelic realm right now, and that angelic realm where there are messengers for the Lord and he dispenses his messengers, he used that angelic realm in the time that we're in right now, in the millennium, he's going to use brothers and sisters. Do you imagine what that fellowship's going to be like? So, can you be more specific, Pastor? Like, what would that group be? I believe from Adam and Eve all the way to the rapture of the church, all the believers during that period of time. You mean like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Yes. All the believers, all those that believed in Christ, believed in the promises of Christ. Yes. All of the believers. And then, in that 7-year period of time, any of the tribulation believers that died as well. So the tribulation saints, the church, and those before the church began are part of God's group working here. If we go and see verse 4, I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead, on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So in this period of time, in this 1,000-year period of time, that's what we're doing with the Lord. 1,000-year period of time. Well, does the Bible say anything about after that 1,000 years? It does. It does. What does it say? Well, it tells us that, verse 7, when the 1,000 years had expired, 1,000 years have gone by, Satan will be released from his prison. Oh, no. I thought we were done with that guy. So he is bound in prison during those 1,000 years. There's three things on earth right now that make it so difficult for us to live a godly life You say, just three? I could give you many more. There's Satan and the devil. There's the worldly system, which is ungodly. And then there's myself. Those three. Those three. If, for example, today, we just take away one of those today. Let's just say that there is not a worldly system, that the world is just ruled in righteousness. So Satan still exists. My flesh exists. But this world is ruled in righteousness. We would not be going to Olympia on Wednesday. We would be very excited about decisions that national governments are making. The rule in righteousness, in other words, every decision has to honor God. It's a God biblical answer and decision that is made. All of them. Does that not start to bring relief to your heart? Just that one being removed, it make a big difference in our lives. In the millennium, that is removed because Christ reigns and rules in righteousness. What if somebody during that 1,000 years, because they're going to have flesh and blood, not us, we have a new body, we move around, but as we reign and rule, what if someone does something wrong? What if, because they have an evil heart, it's going to be dealt with immediately, quickly, swiftly, and immediately. And it's not going to allow it to fester or come up. It's rule in righteousness, right? Will we have a court system? No, it's all taken care of immediately. In that 1,000 years, rule in righteousness, Satan is bound. And the only thing you have left is your flesh to contend with. And as that goes sideways, it's dealt with right away. Okay? All right. So, when we look here at the end of the 1,000 years, and we see in verse 7, it says, "And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations." And that's what's going on in our world right now. Satan is deceiving the nations. Satan is deceiving the world governments. You can see it. That's what he does. There's a reference to Gog and Magog, which refers to what's going to happen to Israel right around the tribulation period or right as it begins. I'm not certain personally where that is, but it's a reference to the hostility against Israel. Obviously, in the very end, those that are opposing Christ, there's going to be that same hostility and battle towards Israel, towards where Christ is reigning and ruling. And they went up in verse 9 on the breadth of the earth, and they surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Again, and that is referred to back in chapter 19, because that's where they went to right away. In verse 19, verse 20, the beast was captured and the false prophet who worked signs in the presence, which deceived those who received the mark. And it tells us these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So the false prophet and the Antichrist are there. Satan is chained up. He's released. He's used by God to make clear the hearts of people. Verse 10 again, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, beast, false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. This is a very important point. There's literally a heaven and literally a hell. Those two destinations are the final destination for everybody in this world. The angelic and human realm. Heaven or hell. That's it. And we do not negotiate the terms of that destination that has been provided for through Jesus Christ. And every person will have and does have the opportunity to respond to Christ. Everyone does. Now, it says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne for him who sat on it, and those who faced the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small, the great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea, verse 13, gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we have complete confidence in God's word. Men and women, we make a decision for Christ. We spend eternity with him. It is absolutely certain it's based on Christ and not on us. Amen? But in the end, those who said, listen, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I just don't even care. I don't even know what I am, but I'm not what you are. I don't want to be what you are. And I'll just go my own way. Listen, in the end, every person who has not believed in Christ for salvation will stand before, right here, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's not for you as a believer. No. There's no judgment like that for you as a believer. It's for the unbelievers. Well, I don't care. I didn't like the Lord. I hated God. I hated religious things. I had them burn my body, threw it out to sea. And so there. Do you think that anybody's lost? Do you think before God there's even one random molecule in this whole universe? He puts it all together, my friends. He puts it all together. Every person will become before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. At the end of the 1,000-year period of time, all throughout the world will stand before the great white throne judgment. And at that point, all non-believers will be there. And they will go into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's it. Now, someone said this, and you probably heard it. Follow me with this. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Now, we're going to walk through this, but if you grab a hold of this right now, it will really help. If you're born once, you die twice. I was born once in 1953. There's a point in time I'm going to die physically in the future. And if I die without Christ, there's a spiritual death as well. It's called hell. I was born once. I died. It's like there's a birth date, a death date, and then spiritual death forever. Born twice, die once. I was born 1953. I was born again 1978. There'll be a day that I die, unless the rapture happens. There'll be a day that I die, but I live forever because I've been born again. Our encouragement today, as we leave here in a few minutes, is this. If you later on can go over to what is written in Matthew 25 and in Luke 19, Jesus gives a parable. And it's placed in this time frame. Remember, Matthew 24 speaks about the end times. Matthew 24 in Revelation, they parallel one another many ways. But in 25 of Matthew, there's a parable about the talents that are given. And the ones that receive those talents from God, and they pray for a blessing, and they use those talents, and those talents multiply through their use and stewardship for the Lord. It seems as though that first person with a talent is given is just completely sold out, no hesitations, and the results are shown to us. The second one also, but there's a bit of hesitation, but there's good results. And the third one buried that talent. And God had strong things to say about that. I personally believe that our life and walk and fellowship with God on earth right now, our faithfulness on earth right now for Him, there's a relationship between how we serve God now to how we will serve Him in that millennium kingdom as His servants. There is a relationship between our faithfulness here and that millennium kingdom. Now, saying that, pastors can really be guilty of putting guilt and false motivation on people. That's not my intention, and you know that. But to hold back that reality would also be not telling the truth about the Scriptures. So there's no way that I'm going to falsely motivate somebody to do something for the kingdom of God. But we should realize that our life has value and purpose under His Lordship right now. And we're just not diddly-do right now, like whatever. No, there is specific purposes for our King right now. And as we're subjected to our King right now, He is looking at not all the things we do. He's looking at our heart behind the things we do. He judges our motive, not the output of the work, the motive behind what we do. And there's something in this fellowship we have with Him. There's something in this obedience to Him, yielding to Him, surrender to Him, living for Him, fellowshipping with Him, abiding with Him. There's something in all of this that plays itself out in that millennium time. Because He says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will make you faithful or opportunities in the future." He's referencing our faithfulness here to His placement of us in that millennium time period. And it's something to really consider before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for our final prayer together. Father, we are grateful. And we pray, Lord Jesus, just as we see this, I know it's a lot of information, but Lord, it's not just information, it's Your Word. And I pray, God, that we would awaken in the midst of just this time frame that we live in. We would be awakened to saying, God, You are King, You are Lord, You are in control. You've got the future taken care of, and You'll have this day taken care of. And so, Lord, we want to be led by You. And I do pray, God, if any are with us this morning, and no matter how familiar you may be with the building or the Scriptures, there is an exhortation Jesus gives in His ministry, and He says, "I never knew you." And they says, "Well, we did all this." He goes, "Oh, I never knew you. Your heart was never given over to Me." So you want to make sure that your life and walk with Jesus is certain. And it's certain because it humbles us. And we come to the point of realizing, without you, Lord, I'm nothing. And with you, you can be glorified. And your purposes for my life can be fulfilled. Work that work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.